Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, Laker fans, thank you very much for tuning in. A second edition of Lakers Talk post the 2021-2022 season. So obviously a week ago we did Lakers Talk, and that was day one of the Lakers offseason. Now we're already a week into it. Had all the exit interviews last week, so things have kind of quieted down from a Laker front in regards to hearing from actual players, hearing from the front office. So now we kind of just get to dive into the nitty-gritty of the Lakers offseason. So I appreciate you guys being a part of the show. Bobby Marks, front office insider for ESPN, he's going to come on in about 30 minutes or so. Got a lot of questions. What the Lakers, some flexibility over the offseason, what we should expect, coaches that they're going to be targeting, all that good stuff. We'll get a chance to do that with Bobby Marks. I want to start off the show. There's a couple things I want to do. I want to propose a question out to Laker fans. If you want to see the Lakers run it back, LeBron, Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook, are you in that camp where people say, well, if Russ was just healthy and if these guys played more than 21 games, this is what it would have looked like? I'll get your opinion on that. There were some reports that came out. Mark Stein actually put this out earlier today, that the Lakers unlikely to consent to a Russell Westbrook for Gordon Hayward trade. I want to look at some options here for Russell Westbrook and which one that would be on the top of most Laker fans on the top of their list. I had a conversation this morning. Travis and I were doing our show, and this just kind of naturally came up about LeBron James and a potential extension in August. Is that something that Laker fans want to see? I want to play it both ways. Is that something the organization, you know, obviously wants to entertain and have LeBron around for 2 years on top of this upcoming season? And will LeBron want that? So I think we could certainly play out some scenarios on that front, and then the latest as far as the Lakers head coaching position. So the question I'm going to throw out there, do you want to see the Lakers run it back? Do you want to see them run it back? Do you want them to come back with the same players? And I'm talking about the core, right? We know there's a lot of role players that won't be on this team. Maybe guys like Kent Bazemore and Wayne Ellington and Trevor Ariza and Dwight Howard. Go down the list of some of these players. There's probably a good likelihood that players like that wouldn't come back. Maybe Dwight different. He had a good season for the Lakers, I thought, in his role. But I'm just going to kind of put this from my perspective, and we can build off of it from there. I don't really think Laker fans are looking at this upcoming season and saying that, well, if you just gave LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Russell Westbrook some more time, that things are going to change. Or if you just gave Bron, AD, and Westbrook a different coach, things would change, or some different role players, things would change. And to be honest with you, I don't really feel like the organization is looking at a scenario like that that would come into play, and you know, you'd be happy with it, you'd be content with it, you'd walk into preseason basketball, training camp, and everything else with those three players as still all your key guys. I really genuinely don't see. Not only do I not see that happening, I think the Lakers will try to move heaven and earth to try to make sure that they come out next training camp with a different squad, with LeBron and Anthony Davis as still your foundation. I never bought into. You know, I think a lot of times we could listen to what players say. I'll give you an example. A week ago during the exit interviews, I got an opportunity to ask Bron a question, and Bron was, tell me things you liked when you had your big three and things that you weren't that crazy about. And as far as the things that he wasn't that crazy about, I said, look, we just didn't play enough. Played 21 games. I played more games with guys in high school than I did with Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook. They played 21 games. They won 11-10. I heard what he was saying, but I also know how, you know, incredibly intelligent LeBron James is, one of the best to ever do it when it comes to the game of basketball. I think you could also look and have enough of a sample size and say, yeah, I don't think we're going to compete for a championship with these three players. These three players playing together. We know the model that the Lakers had the last couple of years. It was LeBron, Anthony Davis, and then the right role players. This past offseason, they went big game hunting. They went and got Russell Westbrook. Now, I'm still one of those that thinks that, of course you can win with three stars. It's got to be the right three players. They got to complement each other. One has to pick up for the other. You have to, I guess, seamlessly assume that these blocks are going to fit. And that never really happened with the Lakers, and we know it never did. So I'm certainly not one that wants to see that the Lakers bring back LeBron James, Russell Westbrook, and Anthony Davis. The odd men out, I think it's pretty obvious here. It's how do you get rid of Russell Westbrook's contract? How do you get rid of Russell Westbrook? How do you move on from a player that seemed to be the wrong marriage from the beginning? And I would assume both parties would feel more comfortable if they were playing somewhere else. Russell Westbrook's gonna sign that extension, or he's gonna opt into his final year of his contract. He's gonna get $47 million no matter what happens next year. The question is gonna be, will the Lakers have options to go take that contract and put it somewhere else? And that kind of leads me into my next conversation. Personally, for me, I just think it would be awful to walk into next season, be in training camp in late September, go into preseason in early October, and then end of October, the Lakers start their 2022-2023 season, and LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Russell Westbrook are still all on the same team. There was an article that came out earlier today. Mark Stein, NBA insider Mark Stein, he reported that the Lakers have boundaries then advertised when it comes to weighing Westbrook trades, and that injury histories would be a prime consideration in any deal. So the reason why this came up, there were three different trade scenarios that I think I brought up last week that has been part of a conversation around the Lakers over the last, you could say, while the season was kind of getting ready to wrap up, certainly the moment the season ended and you knew that they were out of playoff contention, that happened about 2 weeks ago or so, that game against the Phoenix Suns, that now you kind of started, okay, well, what's a destination? Who's a team that could look at Russell Westbrook and say, all right, we can take some good from a Russell Westbrook contract because there's stuff that we have that we want to get rid of, and maybe this is a happy marriage with a guy like Russ. One of those teams were the Charlotte Hornets. And Mark Stein put out there that the Lakers are unlikely to consent to Russell Westbrook for Gordon Hayward trade. So this specific conversation about this specific team is a good example of what the Lakers will be looking for this upcoming offseason. Hayward is owed about $30 million in his contract for next year. And for the Lakers to match a deal, Westbrook's owed 47. You'd have to add another player. I think Terry Rozier was the player that they were talking about. Two contracts. You could look at Charlotte and say to yourself, maybe, just maybe for them, they would look to shop players like Gordon Hayward and Terry Rozier and just continue their youth movement, get rid of bad contracts, take in a contract like Russell Westbrook, and in 1 year, you can wipe out those other contracts that you have because Russ is due $45 million or $47 million, and then it's over. Russell Westbrook could come off your books. That was one scenario that played out. Another one was to try to do some kind of deal with the Knicks. Grab some of their players. I think Kemba Walker would be a part of that one. And then the last one, which I think out of all the potential scenarios that I've heard as far as Russell Westbrook, the Indiana Pacers, to me, would be the most interesting one and would be the one where I feel both teams can accomplish what they're looking for. Now, maybe, just maybe, the Indiana Pacers look at Russell Westbrook and they look at the Lakers and say, no, you know what? We can shop our guys somewhere else. We could get more compensation. No, we're not in the best interest of helping the Lakers. We really don't care the situation that they're in. But this is the one where, at least from a Laker perspective, you could look at Russell Westbrook and say, okay, the Lakers competed for a championship with role players in the past around LeBron and Anthony Davis. Malcolm Brogdon, Buddy Hield, whatever other numbers to make it work, has been the conversation about the Lakers would take on a 3-year contract from Brogdon, 2-year contract from Buddy Hield. The Indiana Pacers would take Russell Westbrook and decide, we're going to continue to rebuild. We like the young pieces that we have. We're hitting the reset button. Give us that Russ contract. Give us some draft compensation. Take back a couple bad contracts that we have. You get the role players that you're hoping to have to compete for an NBA championship, or maybe it's not even compete for an NBA championship. How about just get back in the mix and then take it one step at a time from there? The Pacers one, by far, to me, is the most interesting. No question about it. The Pacers one, to me, is by far the most interesting, because I do think a player like Malcolm Brogdon and Buddy Hield could tremendously help the Lakers. Now, you're going to take on some contracts. Brogdon's owed 3 years. Hield is owed 2 years, where the Russell Westbrook contract expires in 1 year and that $47 million is gone. But you're kind of desperate if you're the Lakers. How are you not? LeBron James, we're going to have conversations about LBJ, and this one's going to come up here in just a second. He's going to be in his 20th season next year. He's going to be due potentially in a two-year extension coming up in August. You're either still giving yourself an opportunity to compete, learning from some of your mistakes, going back out there and getting role players that you think fit with LeBron James and Anthony Davis, or you're just kind of running in circles. And I really actually feel if the Lakers don't make this type of move, and even if it costs them some draft compensation, I think they're still going to do whatever the hell they can to squeeze as much out of this lemon that they possibly can in this window with LeBron and Anthony Davis. I don't think that's going to change much this offseason. But once I saw that article this morning from Mark Stein about Lakers unlikely to consent to Russell Westbrook for Gordon Hayward, I will say if your issue is you're worried about grabbing players that have an injury history, Malcolm Brogdon has certainly had an injury history as well, but I like those role players, and I think a Brogdon, Buddy Hield fit with the Lakers would be so much better than anything they had this past season, and then figuring out the rest of the roster from there would obviously be a priority for the Lakers. Quick shout-out here, Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Visit SoCalOilChange.com to find a location near you. Home of the 15-minute oil change. Visit SoCalOilChange.com. Don't procrastinate. Get it done. You could easily get the work done if your car is in need of maintenance. Visit SoCalOilChange.com. If you guys want to hit me on Twitter, at Alan Sliwa, this conversation I mentioned, Travis and I had it this morning. LeBron's potential extension coming in August. If you extend LeBron James for two more years past this season coming up, do you still feel like you got an opportunity for a chip, or is this going to be something done purely from an entertainment financial perspective? We'll do all that coming up next. Stay right here. Appreciate you guys being a part of the show. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
All right, welcome back to Lakers Talk. Bobby Marks, by the way, coming up in about 12 minutes or so. Get a chance to. I got a lot of questions for Bobby Mark. Questions about the NBA, but specifically the Lakers. The way we actually just started the show, some of these questions about coaching opportunities, if he feels that the Lakers would run it back with Russell Westbrook, which of the potential trades out there does he feel like would make most sense for the Lakers and which would actually be realistic? Because at the end of the day, we can all throw as many ideas out there, but if the other team doesn't like it, then it takes two to tango. So Bobby Marks coming up here in just a few. So I mentioned this, that there was a Travis and I were having this conversation earlier today, and this just kind of naturally came up. We're talking about the Lakers. There was an article in the LA Times that the coaching job, the position for the Lakers, is not all that attractive. That think about how many different headaches a new coach would come in and have to kind of navigate. And I'll lay them out for you. LeBron's going to be going into his 20th season. Anthony Davis has played about 62% of the games since he's been a Laker, 50%, below 50% over the last two seasons. That right there is a lot. You know, you just kind of use that as a conversation. You have to have Anthony Davis healthy, period. There's no question. If the Lakers have any run or any opportunity as a run, AD's got to be there, and he's got to be there often. LeBron in his 20th season, I saw what he did in his 19th year, and it's unbelievable that he was averaging 30 points a game, the amount of minutes that he was playing per night. The Lakers were still losing. Is it a shock that they were losing? Well, I think if AD wasn't there, I guess it's not, you know, a shock. It just shows you that Bron can't carry a team anymore the way he used to. And it also says a lot about the front office and the personnel that he had around him, and it didn't seem like a lot of that was the right fit. Coach Vogel and that coaching staff, obviously, there was a lot that didn't pan out from that perspective as well. So a coach that walks in this upcoming year that the Lakers target and they decide, hey, that's our guy, there's a lot of questions around this roster. And when Travis and I were having the conversation earlier this morning about it, the conversation came up about, you know, LeBron's going to be doing an extension come August. LeBron could potentially sign a two-year extension with the Lakers. So he's under contract for this upcoming year. This will be the final year of his contract. He'll make $44.5 million. This August, the Lakers can, and I think will offer him a two-year $97 million contract extension. All right? So the question then comes is that the right move for the Lakers? And then I'm also going to play this the other side. If you're LeBron James, do you want to extend with the Lakers? Do you feel like there's enough there to go continue to compete for an NBA championship? Because I think we all know what LeBron's priorities are the rest of his career. I don't know what order they're in, but I'll just tell you what his priorities are. He wants to pass Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as the most points scored in NBA history. That's going to happen this upcoming year, and I do think it's symbolic that it would happen with him rocking a Laker jersey. That's one of his priorities. The second priority he's been very adamant about, he wants to play with his son, Bronny. How cool of a story would that be? You know, obviously, for LeBron James, that's a priority of his. He wants to play with his son. So you got, I want to pass Kareem. I want to play with my son. And the third, again, this is not in any specific order, has to be, I want to compete for a freaking championship. I got four of them under my belt. I've been to the finals 10 times. But I want a chance at championship number five for himself personally, or for with the Lakers would be championship number 18, if it's here. I look at it this way. From a Laker perspective, it is very difficult right now to sit here with how little confidence we have coming off of a 33-49 season, with little confidence that you have on the, will Anthony Davis be healthy? LeBron's going to be in his 20th year. What are you going to do with the Russell Westbrook contract? You still got to figure out who's going to come coach the Lakers. Who's pulling all the strings in the front office? Does Pelinka have not just the juice, but does he have the room of, hey, I make the final decisions around here. Everything's going to come through me. Are there multiple voices in the front office where you can't really make one decision? It's such a collective effort. You got the best term there is too many cooks in the kitchen. If I'm the Lakers, I'm looking at this potential extension with LeBron James. I think it's going to happen. I think they will offer him that two-year extension. I think if you're LeBron, you got to ask yourself, do I still get a chance to win championships if I stay with the Lakers? Can LeBron be the best player on a championship team the rest of the way? I think the hope and the idea and the concept was he's not going to have to be, because Anthony Davis is going to take the reins for the Lakers, and he's going to grab that, and he's going to be the player that puts this team on his shoulders. Well, AD keeps telling us year after year, guys, I'm not that guy. I'm a really, really good player in the NBA. Really good. But I'm not a MVP caliber player at this stage of his career in the National Basketball Association. That the other big men that are out there, Giannis, Jokic, Joel Embiid, those three big men are better than me. That's kind of what AD's been telling us the last couple of years. And if there are people out there that want to make the argument, yeah, but Anthony Davis, we know how good of a two-way player he is. We know how amazing of a player he is in his career. I think you could say that, but you also got to say availability is a big part of it. And he hasn't been available for 2 years in a row. There was actually this, I don't know if you guys saw this, Chris Webber was on The Volume. Volume is a podcast program. And Chris Webber, I'm going to read off one of the quotes. He said, this is Chris Webber talking about Anthony Davis. I think this is actually a little bit ironic, because Chris Webber and Anthony Davis, I think, have a lot in common. Former Sacramento King Chris Webber. He says, I felt that he could be that missing piece for someone else. I don't know what he's proven as far as a lone star. He goes on to say, he's a wonderful talent, and he hit some big shots for LeBron. I get that. But we're talking about him being the alpha. I don't know when that's worked. I don't really argue with Chris Webber on this one. I can't really argue that we've looked at Anthony Davis, at least with his just his stint with the Lakers, and you could say, oh, yeah, that guy's an alpha. Oh, yeah, yeah, he could be the best player on the championship team. Oh, yeah, yeah, don't you can put the ball, you could put your franchise on Anthony Davis' shoulders, and he's going to deliver for you night in and night out. The reason why I say it's kind of ironic that it's coming from Chris Webber, Webber, I think, was one of those players in the league. I don't think Webber could have been the best player on a championship team. He never won a championship. But his description of Anthony Davis, I think he's a player that has a perspective that is probably pretty close to what the way we look at Anthony Davis now. An unbelievable player. A great talent. He's just not the best player on a championship team. So when I go back to the, and I know I kind of went a little all over the place on this one to go back to what the Lakers will do when an extension comes up with LeBron James. Travis is saying you can't extend him. No, no, no. You got to start your rebuilding process right now. I actually don't think there, I think there are a lot of Laker fans would agree with that assessment. Yeah, let's, this window of winning championships, it's already, it's behind you. You were 16 games below 500. You're not going to compete with teams like the Memphis Grizzlies and the Phoenix Suns and the Golden State Warriors and the Denver Nuggets and the Los Angeles Clippers. I'm mixing in teams that are either young and getting better or teams that are only going to get healthier as next season comes along. I think there are Laker fans that are saying, no, the days of winning a championship or competing a championship with Bron and Anthony Davis are over. Well, if an extension is offered to LeBron James come August, I think the Lakers are telling you clear cut, that window is not over. That window is not done. That they could still compete for a championship over the next few years. Because when I laid out the priorities that were out there for LeBron James left in his career, not knowing what priority is top priority, I really still think LeBron James will still want to compete for an NBA championship. Now, how do I feel? I feel it's difficult right now to sit here today watching what I just watched over the course of 88 games and tell you that I think the Lakers, with a couple, a move here and a move there, are going to compete for a championship next year, let alone in LeBron's 21st and 22nd season in the NBA. But I'm also not one to sit here and tell you that they should punt and it's over. Because I, you know, in my heart of hearts, I don't feel like it's completely over. Now, does that mean if the Lakers don't win a championship from this point on the rest of the way with LeBron's career as a Laker, does it mean it was unsuccessful? I think there's a lot of in-between storylines that we'll still have to get figured out to answer that question, because they could make off-season moves this year and Anthony Davis could come back and play 70 games and LeBron can have a similar season like he had last season or less than, because AD's there all the time, so just naturally his numbers are going to decrease and you could have a much better season, but you just don't win it all. That happens. You can't win it every year. But at least you want to go out because another team just, it was a strong 7-game set, 6 games, whatever it is. And that team, you know what, they were just better. Their team just clicked better than your team did. And it was in the Western Conference Finals. What you don't want to do is go out the way the Lakers went out this past year. And, you know, obviously found themselves nowhere even near contention and put themselves in a position where they weren't even a part of the play-in tournament. The LeBron piece, I think, is going to be just as fascinating, because if you're LeBron James, Sam Amick had put this out in The Athletic. If you're LeBron, this is a quote I'm going to take from Sam Amick's article in The Athletic. We'll see. He's talking about an extension. LeBron potentially taking an extension that would come in August. He says, if that doesn't show you James is still reading the Lakers' room right now, then nothing else will. Then again, can anyone blame him for continuing to reassess a situation that looks as sideways now as it did when Magic Johnson walked off the Staples Center setback on April 10th of 2019? What Sam is trying to say is, the Lakers can offer LeBron James whatever they want to offer him, but that it's not a guarantee that LeBron would take that extension. The way I view it, if you're LeBron James, I love when star players put franchises in kind of a peculiar situation where they're a little bit uncomfortable, where they want to have you back, but you're not giving them the comfort that you are coming back. You're always kind of leaving them uncomfortable the entire way. I'll consider it, but this is what has to happen in order for me to come back. We got to be freaking winning. We got to be competing. And by the way, by the time August comes back, you'll have a really good handle of what the Lakers look like coming into next season. So by the time LeBron James, there's a decision to be made on his contract extension, you'll have already signed your head coach. That's obviously going to be a critical piece this offseason for the Lakers. That's going to tell a big piece of whether this job is, you know, there's coaches fighting for it tooth and nail. And I'm talking about really good coaches that are currently coaching in the playoffs right now. Or if, you know what, it's not as attractive as it once was. Or just the current climate of where the Lakers are, you're not getting your top priority. You're getting your third pick or your fourth pick or your fifth pick. By the time we get to August and the question comes up about LeBron's extension, you'll have hired your head coach. You'll have hopefully by then figured out what you're going to do with Russell Westbrook. Russ is not on your roster, and you went out and traded some role players, and you gave up some draft compensation, and you took some contracts back, but you thought those contracts of players, role players, are going to help kind of change the culture of this upcoming season, which we know obviously didn't happen this past year. We will find out a lot by the time LeBron's in a position to sign a two-year, whatever that was, $94 million extension, $97 million extension. But I don't think it's just in the Lakers' hands. I think, you know, LeBron's done this in the past where I got to make sure that the place that I'm at, I have a legitimate chance of competing. And if I don't, then I got some question marks. And that's not a threat or anything along those lines. I think Bron will genuinely want to see, do I still have a chance to compete for championships, or am I in this position where I'm fighting for a play-in tournament spot like he has for the last 2 years on this Lakers roster? And, of course, that's not all on LeBron. A lot of that's going to depend on Anthony Davis, going to depend on your new head coach, on what the front office does with Russell Westbrook and everything else. Okay, I'm excited to have Bobby Marks a part of the show. He's an NBA front office insider for ESPN. I got questions of who he thinks is realistic, who'd be a good fit for the Lakers at the coaching position, if he thinks it's viable that Russell Westbrook can be moved. Got a lot of NBA questions I want to get into as well as we had our first weekend of the NBA. Games going on right now. We'll do all that coming up next. Thank you for being a part of the show. By the way, Lakers Talk, proud partner, Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. All you got to do is go to SoCalOilChange.com, get a chance. They got great coupons on there. Get a chance to obviously take care of your car, get it serviced, and you could do it at a great, great company at Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Just go to SoCalOilChange.com. Bobby Marks coming up next.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
All right, welcome back to Lakers Talk. Very happy to have Bobby Marks on, ESPN NBA front office insider, taking some time to join the show. Bobby, hope you're doing well. I know it's a busy time of the year, and as you can imagine, out here in Los Angeles, a lot of questions around this Lakers team, and as we enter the offseason, I think we're a week old now. We obviously had the playoff games over the weekend. I just kind of want to get your overall thoughts before we look forward. How surprised are you that we're sitting here and the Lakers are not part of the playoff picture walking into the season? I'm not sure what your specific expectations were and how you thought the Russ fit would ultimately play out. But just your thoughts on how the season played out and the fact that there's playoffs and the Lakers aren't a part of the mix.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you take, you know, certainly from when we were in the offseason last year, we thought this team potentially could be a top four or top five team in the Western Conference if things broke the right way, and they did a good job in free agency, and certainly Westbrook fitting in, that would play a role. As the season went on, I thought at a minimum they would be able to get into the play-in just based on, you look at what San Antonio did at the trade deadline when they traded, Derek White and Thaddeus Young, and, were really kind of in, focus on, draft picks. Certainly the C.J. McCollum trade to New Orleans helped the Pelicans, but you thought that San Antonio would have fallen out and the Lakers at a minimum would have slid into that 9-10 seed. And as we all know, that certainly did not happen, and certainly injuries and a lot of different factors here. But yeah, I would say if you asked me before the start of the season, hey, the Lakers are going to be sitting home when the play-in starts, I'd say, no, that's not going to happen. But as we know, it did happen.
Bobby, as we approach this offseason, I feel like there's so many different priorities for the Lakers. I don't know where to start. If you're the front office, if you're Rob Pelinka, where do you start? And I know the head coaching spot and the head coaching position is obviously going to be a key one, but it feels like you got a lot of questions unanswered as we sit here tonight and try to kind of get the lay of the land here for the Lakers over the next couple of months. What do you feel is the most important priority that the Lakers just have to hit on this offseason?
I think it's the head coach. I mean, I really do. I mean, I think, certainly whoever they hire is walking into it's a unique situation. It's not like some of these teams that have young core, and or if it's Orlando from a year ago or Minnesota from last year, where you're kind of just going in and you have you basically have an extended time period to develop guys over a 3 or 4 year period. I mean, the coach, whoever they hire, is walking into a situation where it's a win now mentality based on with LeBron and Anthony, and we'll see what happens with Russell. And so I do think the priority is getting it right with the head coach. And you see in these playoffs, hiring the right coach means a lot. I mean, Chris Finch in Minnesota, Willie Green in New Orleans, Taylor Jenkins in Memphis. We know what Ty Lue can do in Cleveland and now with the Clippers. So, just because your roster is maybe limited right now, that changes awfully quick. And I think it is going to be important that, priority one, before you address what your roster is going to look like, is getting it right with the head coach.
Bobby Marks, who's the NBA front office insider for ESPN, takes some time to join Lakers Talk. With that in mind, we've read some local stories here. Obviously, the way Frank Vogel, that situation was handled, it seemed like he was on the hot seat for 3-4 months of the season. Eventually, the Lakers let Frank Vogel go. How attractive, you just kind of gave an example of, well, what the roster looks like when you come in. How attractive do you think the Laker job is at this stage? Bron's going to be walking into his 20th season. Anthony Davis has played about 50% of the games over the last couple of years. But you also know that those two guys, as the foundation of a team, just won you a championship in 2020. When I say that, of course someone's going to step up and say, hey, this is the greatest job in the NBA. But as far as priorities go for the Lakers, who's on the top of their list? How do you feel like this specific job compares to other jobs out there? And how confident are you that the Lakers will be able to get some big hitters here?
Yeah, I mean, it's unique. It's unique in two ways. It's unique that you do have LeBron and Anthony Davis, you know, two players that are, you know, top 20 in the NBA, and we all know about how great LeBron is. So you're walking into a situation with those two players already. On the other side, I almost equate it to almost like a year-to-year type job, because it's a year-to-year type roster, just because there are so many holes here where – you know, you could have, you know, 9 or 10 different faces free agency in 2020, and you could be going through the same situation once again, you know, next offseason in 2023 because of how your contracts are lined up, and you don't have any draft picks this year, and we don't know about next year as far as, you know, maybe the Pelicans defer to 2000, or swap rights there in 2023, and then the future here. So that's where, like, you know, you're not walking, as I say, you're not walking into a situation where, like, you have 10 players and you can kind of groom these players, and this is your foundation where, you know, the likelihood, I would say, is that LeBron is back for, you know, for 2023-24, and we'll see what happens with Westbrook, if he's there or if he's traded for multiple different players. So that's the unique part of it, is that although you have those two players, it's ever changing, and it will continue to ever change until Rob gets it right.
Bobby, it's interesting when you lay it out that way, because I think there's a lot of Laker fans also kind of scratching their head of what is really the identity of this team. And I think the best way to describe it is they are a year in, year out identity, where you don't really know. I guess you could say we thought we had an idea what we were going to be walking into this year, but it was much different than the year prior, which was pretty, you know, there was a lot of changes the year before that. The consistency of having a franchise where you kind of know exactly what that team is, that portion is probably lacking at this point. We'll see how things play out there. Out of some of the names that you've heard, and I know a lot of this is just rumors and everything else, but is there a coach out there that you think would be not just realistic, but a really good fit? Is there a combination of any of these names that you heard of that you would feel would be the right fit for the Lakers?
I think I'm intrigued as far as, and they might probably will get out of this round against Dallas, as far as what happens with Quinn Snyder in Utah. You know, I think Quinn kind of checks the boxes on both fronts. I think certainly from a developmental standpoint, where they've had young players in Utah at one point, whether it been Rudy or Donovan, and now you see those two players as all NBA type players. And then on the other end, he's been in a lot of big games as far as from a coaching standpoint, from the playoffs. You know, he had a team that had the best record in the regular season last year. So he kind of checks both boxes. I don't know if he'll become available. I mean, I think based on how far this Utah team does, and they've certainly caught a little bit of a break with the Luka injury in this Dallas series here. So this could go, you know, the likelihood is they would probably get Phoenix in the next round, and likelihood is they'll probably be out of the playoffs here. So he's probably the most intriguing coach for me, because he's got the experience factor, and there's a lot of good young assistants out there, but that is a tall task for a first first job coming in. You know, a guy like Darvin Ham, for example, in Milwaukee, who played in the league and I think should be a head coach in the future, but to have somebody with the expectation in your first job, I saw it in Brooklyn when we hired Jason Kidd in 2013-14. It's a lot to ask for a guy to inherit a roster that's a win now, and you know, your margin for error is very little.
Final one here on the Laker front, and then I got a couple NBA questions I want to throw your way of teams that are actually in the postseason. I know it sounds kind of weird, but that's offseason already here in L.A. Bobby, the Russell Westbrook piece of things, just how you think things will play out with Russell Westbrook, do you feel it's a huge challenge to trade away that contract? Do you see that there could be some opportunities that make sense for a franchise out there to take Russ's contract, plus for the Lakers to find role players that they think could help them win this upcoming season? How difficult is it going to be to accomplish that? And would you be shocked if we start next year and Russ is still on this roster?
No, I wouldn't be shocked. I think he's, you know, certainly from a trade standpoint, it's just a matter of, is the Lakers willing to take back money that stretches into 23, 24 and beyond? So what I mean is, you know, is there going to be a situation, for example, in Milwaukee where, you know, I mean, not Milwaukee, I'm sorry, Indiana, where a Pacer team that's, you know, they trade for Tyrese Haliburton, and what's going to happen with Malcolm Brogdon? Can those two players fit? Do they look at, you know, does Indiana look like at this year as kind of a bridge year till next year? And they'll shed money to take back that, you know, that Westbrook contract for 1 year. And from the Lakers' perspective, is that what's the value of future first-round picks that they have, whether it be 2027 or 2029? And is there a reluctance to add that to a in a Westbrook trade here? So I do think there'll be more opportunities than probably what presented at the trade deadline, but it's all about the two things I mentioned. Are Lakers willing to take back money that goes past this year? And are they willing to add draft picks here? Because as you see every year, there's always teams that, you know, value cap space more than maybe their own players. And the timeline as far as a rebuild maybe doesn't fit as far as a Malcolm Brogdon on their roster or Gordon Hayward in Charlotte, for that matter of fact.
It's Bobby. It's going to be one of those things. I know we'll be following it. We'll be following it all off season. The way you just described it, if you were the Lakers, how should they handle that situation? If it takes, let's use the Pacers as a perfect example. Would you do a Malcolm Brogdon, a Buddy Hield? I don't know if there's more dollars that need to come and play for Russell Westbrook. And you got to give up that 2027 first rounder. You feel like the Lakers are backed enough into a corner here to where they have to do something like that? Because if you don't do it, I don't know how much is going to change next season with those three together, watching all 82 games. They played a fourth of the games together. But watching at least enough of a sample size, it was so difficult to try to make to justify how they can roll the ball back out there together. Would you do a deal like that just to try something different?
I would certainly consider it. I mean, I think you're certainly, you know, the pick is in 2027, and when you have LeBron and AD on your roster, you're a win now team, and that comes at the cost of trading away future draft picks here. So the hard part will be if you don't, as you mentioned, like now you're back to square one where you were last year, and you're relying on all these guys, veteran minimum type players, and puts a lot of pressure on your front office to go out there and do bargain shop. And I think, you know, certainly the approach they took this past year is not the one they're going to go again, where the continuity factor, older veterans here, I think you can, youth does work sometimes, you know, signing Stanley and Austin and Malik and, you know, players like that came in and had a little bit of a role. But, you know, the goal, if you have nine spots and you've got to go out and sign all nine to the veteran minimum, you know, the goal is to go out and get five that can have an impact. And this market is not a great market for free agents. And how do free agents view the Lakers right now? Do they see that as a, you know, a team where they can win a championship, or are they willing to go to Brooklyn or Boston or, you know, Milwaukee, some of those other teams?
Bobby, the couple final ones here, and these are just on the NBA front. Obviously the NBA playoffs has started, and it was an exciting weekend. Games going on as we speak right now. What did you take away? Is there a team that we're not talking enough about, maybe a underdog that's not getting enough love or representation that you think can actually potentially have a real shot at an upset here in this first round, whether it be the Eastern Conference or the Western Conference?
I think Minnesota. I don't think there's fear at all with that group. They went into Memphis, certainly in a game one, and I don't want to say stole a game because they basically led wire to wire. And, you know, with Anthony Edwards and Karl-Anthony Towns playing at a high level like that, I would not be surprised them, you know, going back to Minnesota up 2-0. And that was my big question for this Grizzlies team, is I wanted to see when they dealt with a little bit of adversity. I want to see when you lose a home game when you're the favorite, unlike last year when you're the, you know, seventh, you're the eighth seed and you've got to go on the road here. And I want to see what kind of confidence they have for the rest of this series here. But I think Minnesota, you know, winning that play-in against the Clippers and then going on a road and stealing game one, they've got all the confidence in the world. And, you know, even if they lose a game two, that they think they can win two games at home.
They got game two coming up tomorrow. That game will be on NBA TV. Bobby, thank you so much for the time, man. Really appreciate your insight on all the stuff around Lakers and certainly around the NBA as well.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. That is Bobby Marks right there, front office insider for ESPN. Let's play off a couple things that we just talked about with Bobby, and we'll give our final thoughts as well. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, is your vehicle due for a service? Head into your neighborhood Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change for over 30 years. Valvoline has provided quick and convenient automotive maintenance services for busy people just like you. No dragging the kids to a dirty waiting room. At Valvoline, you stay in your car, you stay safe, while the expert technicians make sure your ride is in peak performance. Oil changes, tire rotations, transmission care, and more. Just pull up, drive in, and drive out in about 15 minutes. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for location and game-winning coupons off your next Valvoline Instant Oil Change. All right, big thank you to Bobby Marks right there. Always appreciate him. You know, he joins the show. Probably have him on once every 3 months or so. He's fantastic and makes some time to obviously break down the Lakers. Yeah, I thought what was most interesting, I was trying to figure out who he thought would be a good fit and realistic as far as a Lakers coach. I like his justification for Quinn Snyder. I really do. And I've said Nick Nurse before, and I don't know how realistic Nick Nurse is, but I think there's kind of similar pedigrees to both of those guys. What I'm referring to there is he likes Quinn Snyder because he's somebody that he feels like can be the Lakers head coach while you have your stars, and then he could also be your head coach if you started a rebuilding phase in a couple of years, right? That even after LeBron James, and we'll see what happens down the road with AD and whoever else is on this roster, that you can have a coach that can do a little bit of both. Now, you know, the Jazz, I think they've been a disappointing franchise as far as getting to that next level. And the next level would be the Western Conference Finals or representing the West. I do think they have been disappointing. So that's one knock I would have on Quinn Snyder is you've had some pretty good talent. I feel like they've obviously put a team together around Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert that could compete, but you've reached your ceiling. They're going to get lucky in this series against the Dallas Mavericks because Luka's not there. I don't think they would have won the series if Luka wasn't there. We'll see how things play out. I mean, they grabbed the first game in that matchup, and they got a game going on right now. But I just bring it up simply because he also, to me, has not proved that he could take a team, take them to the Western Conference Finals. I would have thought Utah would have had more success under Quinn Snyder. I've mentioned Nick Nurse before. I actually had an opportunity to do some TV on CBS with Jim Hill on Saturday. There was a conversation we're having about it. And I mentioned Nick Nurse, specifically Nick Nurse, because he's a coach that I feel like he's got his guys, you know, he's coached really good players before. He's won an NBA championship. I don't care how the scenario played out. I know there were some injured players for the Golden State Warriors, but he got a freaking NBA championship, and he's now coaching a lot of young pieces. He has them playing tough and hard. Every time I feel like I watch the Toronto Raptors play, I never have to question the effort or the just how hard these guys play for their coach, and that's been part of my attractive, what I feel like is attractive coming from Nick Nurse. So we'll see how things play out from a coaching perspective and what the Lakers eventually do. But you can hear, listen, you heard Bobby Marks say it. It's the biggest priority this offseason. It's your coach. That's what he said. He didn't say trading Russell Westbrook. He didn't say figuring out what to do with your front office or, you know, who's making the final call. Or any, no, it's your head coach. I have said this, and I'll continue to harp on it because I think it really is critical to bring up. Your offseason this year, how Rob Pelinka juggles all these question marks around the Lakers, I think is everything to the franchise moving forward. Because you can make the argument that Rob Pelinka, give him credit for what he did to going to get that championship in the Orlando bubble. I will go out of my way, give him credit because he deserves a lot of credit. If you want to take some credit away, I'll find a way to mix it back in. If you're going to criticize him for what the Lakers, where they sit today, make sure you also give him credit for winning a championship. But since that championship, you're out in the first round, you made moves in the offseason. After that after the first round exit that the Lakers were in, you make more moves in the offseason, and now you couldn't even make the play-in tournament. What he does and the decisions he makes this offseason, so critical for the Lakers, coaching personnel, how you handle the Westbrook trade, if that eventually happens, draft compensation. All these things are going to be so critical this offseason. I think it always, for me, goes back to what Rob Pelinka does. And again, Bobby Marks, fantastic as always. So I got this stat. This was kind of crazy. Over the weekend, the Spurs were also eliminated, or that was late last week. And I saw that this is the first time since the NBA-ABA merger in 1976, both the Spurs and the Lakers have failed to make the playoffs in the same season. That's kind of crazy. Spurs were there 22 years in a row, 1998 through 2019. The Lakers, obviously, they've missed the playoffs for the seventh time in 9 years. Just kind of shows where their franchise is. And one of the things that's a little bit glaring and unfortunate at the same time, I love the NBA, so I'm watching a lot of these playoff games. There is some really good playoff basketball. Not all of it, but there's some really good playoff basketball. And you're finally starting to watch product that you could look at and kind of say to yourself, like, wow, okay, that's a good product right there. Oh, okay, look at that franchise. You know where they're going. Wow, look at that team. They got not just stars, but the right role players, and they're cropping their youngsters. That's what concerns me most about the Lakers, is when you're watching the Warriors and you're watching Denver and you're like, man, what will they be when Jamal Murray and Jokic or Michael Porter Jr. comes back? When you're watching some of these teams out there, you're saying, I see the promise in a lot of these teams, how much better they can be than they already are. And that's one piece of this where I get concerned about the Lake Show, is I don't really know what their identity is. And they're in this weird in-between stage. They're trying to compete for a chip now, and they couldn't even make the playoffs. So this is just another chapter to this, obviously, to this Lakers offseason that we'll have to get figured out as the season progresses. Great NBA games. I will say this, just one quick one on the Clippers. I was really, really surprised that the Clippers did not make the playoffs. I really was. Give them credit, all the injuries that they had, but at the same time, they blew two double-digit leads, the game against the Minnesota Timberwolves and the game against the Pelicans on Friday night. So that's crazy that both L.A. teams are not part of the playoff mix. All right, Laker fans, appreciate you guys being a part of the show. Thank you to Mario Ruiz. Thank you to Michael Funches. Thank you to Laura Romo. Everybody working their you-know-what's off in the background. And on top of that, I'm back on tomorrow morning with Travis Rogers, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. If you miss any part of the show, make sure you catch the Lakers Talk podcast on the ESPN app or on iTunes. L.A., have a great rest of your night.